This is Ira Kaufman, and I drive a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry. General manager Sean Sullivan, one of the great Buck fans you'll ever encounter. You come into that showroom, which is a gleaming large showroom, and you will not leave without a Ford vehicle, because Sean Sullivan has the initiatives and the flexibility to get you in the car or the SUV of your choice. No matter your standing, no matter your credit rating, he will work with you. And believe me, when you walk out with that vehicle, you will be totally satisfied and you will be a repeat customer. BillCurryFord.com.
All right, Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. The man is the hardest working man in show business. He's got multiple podcasts. He's on TV every other day. He's getting pizza in every place in Newport Richey 4 times a week. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County and the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa Bay's very first family of Ford, where they're dying to help you, where they have great deals, no payments for 90 days. Get to BillCurryFord.com. And more important, contact Sean Sullivan, the GM. He'll help you any way he can. Discounts, financing, personal service, just good guidance. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, as newcomers may not know, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper, the other Joe, is here, and you are here. So how are you?
I'm living the dream, gentlemen. I'm living the dream. And by that, I mean it's been like 11 months to the day almost since the Bucs became the number one story in the National Football League, and it's never wavered. It's never stopped since March 20th, 2020. It's almost a full year. And as Lee was saying before this podcast, the Bucs still rule NFL Network, NFL.com, the Ian Rappaports of the world. Half their stories revolve around what's going on at one Buck place. The interest is incredible. It shows no signs of dissipating. And don't forget, March 20th, that was six months before they get on the field. And, you know, nobody knew quite how it was going to develop, the story of the 2020 Bucks. And for guys like the three of us, you know, it's heaven, because you got the most talked about franchise, Lee, in the National Football League. And we're the number one destination site for Buccaneer news. And it's a hell of a marriage right now, Mr. DeCamper.
And they're winning. The cherry on top bowl. They got the Super Bowl. So it can't be a better time for Bucks fans, plus the Bucks have to repeat. This is just nirvana, as it should be.
It's incredible, Ira. And the fun part, like Lee said, they're winning. They could be a top story because they're losing, or because they're on a 24-game losing streak, or they just fired their coach, or they just hired an offensive coordinator who doesn't know how to call plays. Oh, wait, we did
or
that.
Or had the top pick in the draft.
Oh, yeah, we did that in 2009. But seriously, Ira, you know, you mentioned a Joe Bucks fan. It's been great, man. It's you know, people think we exaggerate sometimes. As we sit here today in February, I just pulled it up. Already 824,000 actual visits to the website this month, which is by far a record for February, which is usually pretty quiet on the quieter side anyway. So it's exciting times, exciting stuff. And your podcast is available at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean. We appreciate all the listeners. Leave a comment if you want to. Of course, support our great advertisers, Bill Curry Ford, and Florida's Best Craft Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, Big Storm Beer, and the only call, your first call, if you have any kind of disaster in your home, is Florida's Elite Restoration. Their website is there for you, floridaseliterestoration.com. They're going to respond immediately, give you a free assessment if you have any kind of disaster in your home, mold, water, fire, whatever it might be. Ira, the nice thing about what you said with the Bucks being everywhere is that there's all kinds of nuggets on the Bucks that are just great insight that keeps popping up in different areas. And, you know, Lee and I and you, we like to sort of look behind the obvious, deeper into the truths that sort of come out. And one guy who has a, I don't know if you would call it claptrap. I still haven't figured out what that means, Ira. But one guy who likes...
It means nonsense. It means nonsense.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I thought it meant something more dire. Okay.
Yeah, me too. Something you need medication for. But Sage, no, the opposite of claptrap would be a guy who has a lot to say that's valuable. And Clyde Christensen is a guy who loves to talk. And he did an interview recently on an obscure CBS station. And this is what he said. And this really stuck with me. And I have a few other nuggets from other players like this. He talked about how nervous he was during the season. And he says, quote, "You always worry when you pick up Tom Brady in the offseason. And he's really not used to bad football," Christensen said. And he says, "You know, we were playing dead average to below average football through the first half of the season." And Christensen goes on to say, "I worried about Brady, but Brady was amazingly patient." And Christensen said he felt like, well, you know, we get to the second half of the season, then all of a sudden, the third quarter of the season, we didn't play well at all. And Christensen is rolling around in bed at night wondering, is this ever going to happen? Are we going to kick in? Is it going to look good? And then it did. But I heard that and I'm like, okay, here's a seasoned coach who's basically saying that, yeah, while the Bucs were 6-2, they were playing very average or below average football. And we're sitting here talking about that. And there are fans killing us. So, oh, you're too negative. You're this, you're that. And then meanwhile, there's a prominent coach on the roster who's sitting there. I can't sleep at night because the Bucs are barely average at best. And I thought that was very interesting. What do you take on that?
I'm a little surprised. I think Christensen's got his time situation warped a little bit. Lee, if he was talking about the third quarter of the season, I could understand it. I mean, they went 1-3. Brady was throwing a lot of picks. They were playing bad football and paying the price. But, Lee, when they were 6-2, which included a big win over the Packers, you know, the three of us didn't have any problem. You know, certainly we weren't used to being 6-2 at the midway point. The offense was rolling. You know, Ronald Jones was doing a great job. You know, maybe Lee, he was talking about that Antonio Brown or Net weren't fully integrated into the offense. That point I'll give him. But there's nothing to sneeze about a 6-2 start when you're averaging 30 points a game and Brady was playing very well. If I was Christensen, I would have limited my comments in that regard to the third quarter of the season. I don't think you got to drag in the first half because I didn't really see a lot of problems when they were 6-2. And then, boom, here came the third quarter. And the opposition teams, you know, grew a lot tougher. And you lost some tough games. No disgrace losing to the Chiefs by 3 points. But I was a little surprised that Christensen, in retrospect, Lee, was picking on the first half of the year because the three of us certainly didn't have a problem with it.
Well, if you think about it, Ira, I don't think Christensen's all that far off. You know, it's all about wins. You know, who cares if you get an ugly win? Win's a win. But they weren't clicking, if you think about it. Obviously, the Saints game, the first one, that didn't go well. Was the Bears game in the first half of the year?
Yes.
Well, that was obviously a debacle. They had to, you know, bust their tail to come back against the Chargers. I want to say they were down 20, maybe three scores. Maybe it was 17. That was not good. So there were elements in that first half that I could see a coach, and Brady wasn't hitting the long ball that well. That was a big topic, if you remember. So I can see where Chris is coming from, and maybe the reason why that doesn't really shock me or anything. A couple weeks ago, he was on a radio show, and he was adamant. He's like, this offense has not reached its peak. He goes, we needed to play an additional 8 games before we were peaking. Like, whoa, you weren't peaking? You won a Super Bowl? So maybe his standards are a whole lot higher than most people. But I don't think he's that far off base because, I mean, if the way the Bucs played in the first half of the season, I don't think any of us would have predicted that they were going to be in the Super Bowl, much less win it.
Steve, I'll give him this point. You know, I mentioned that Fournette and Brown weren't fully integrated as they were during the 8-game winning streak, and I agree with that part. And, Steve, if you want to look and focus on the Warriors up front, the O-line, I think, played considerably better during the 8-game winning streak than they had during the previous you know, 12 games. I think I would give Christensen that point.
It's difficult to get into his head, but you never know how he actually thinks. I mean, like Lee mentioned, he may have looked at the Chargers game as, gosh, we escaped and didn't deserve that one. We pulled that out of nowhere against a bad team. He may have looked,
rookie quarterback.
He may have looked at the Giants game, which was a bit of a letdown. They didn't play very well and may have thought, gosh, we're not as good as I thought. We're 6-2.
But the Raiders win was a good win for the offense. The offense was outstanding in the Raiders game.
Oh, same for the Packers game. I mean, that was a huge turning point kind of game for the whole team. At home, pushes them to 4-2 against a big dog of the NFC. So I can't say I agree with Christensen. I just find it interesting that that was his perspective. You know, sometimes we know the organization gets all sensitive about opinions of the team, yet here's a coach sitting there. He can't sleep because he thinks they're not very good. You know, it's just kind of, I thought that was an interesting twist. Sage, something Chris Godwin said on Sirius XM NFL Radio this week, which I don't know if the Brady magic and the mystique just reaches new levels of like tall fish tails or something. He was asked about, you know, how did you know this year would be different? And Godwin said he went back to training camp and he said that Brady threw some passes, and he specifically mentioned one back shoulder route. He said just some passes he was throwing in training camp was stuff that you would never expect from a quarterback against an excellent Bucs defense. And just Brady repeating just such incredible throws. And he was talking about power of throws and precision, that the quarterback play itself on the field was so much better that in Godwin's mind, it was, you know, it was all the difference in the world. Does that strike you that maybe, you know, players thought that Brady had a stronger arm or better arm than Jameis Winston?
Well, to me, it strikes me more as decision making and placement and accuracy. And none of us should be surprised when a player such as Godwin or Mike Evans or Scotty Miller can't stop talking about the Brady effect, the Brady effect, the Brady effect. People might be tired of hearing it, but Lee, it can't be overestimated. It just can't be overestimated. And now I think he's going to take it to another level off the field, Lee, in terms of recruitment. And I think this is an underreported story, Lee, because as Steve mentioned the other day, there's no regulations against Brady calling up potential free agents from other teams and working on them. And Leah, I think that's all part of the big picture for the offseason of the 2021 Bucs, because when Brady has these conversations, he's obviously going to relay them to Jason Light and Bruce Arians and say, you know, hey, I think we can get this guy potentially. And that falls into the big picture. It's all part of the Brady mystique. I mean, he's a guy like no other. You know, we've compared him to Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan in terms of being on that, you know, rare megastar. And look at Tiger Woods. I mean, what happened the other day, the tragedy. Thank God he's okay. But Lee, it's still leading the newscast, the national newscast. And, you know, you think that's going to happen if Jordan Spieth, God forbid, gets into a rollover incident? No, it's Tiger Woods. And Brady's on that sphere. And to me, there's only three modern-day guys with Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Brady. And like it or not, it's Brady. And it doesn't surprise me that Godwin would talk about that, even going all the way back to August. Just everything that Brady did, he was watched like a hawk, by especially the young players, you know, and the veterans that were so weary of losing Lee. And they looked at him as the guy that's going to lead them out of the wilderness. And darn it, Lee, he did exactly that.
I don't know if I'm going to say something here. It's going to hack people off.
It won't be the first time, Dick Kemper. Won't be the first time.
Oh, no. I used to be the second most hated man in the Tampa Bay area. That changed when the Bucs won the Super Bowl. I cannot put a golfer in any category as an athlete. When the equipment manager has a harder workout than the quote-unquote athlete, I got an issue. And if you really want me to start respecting golf, you put a goalie on the lip of the green.
But, Lee, you can't deny the aura around Tiger Woods. You can't deny that.
Ira, there is no more celebrity, I'll call him that, that is off my radar than Tiger Woods. Kim Kardashian is closer to my radar, and she's not on the radar, is closer to my radar than Tiger Woods. I got sick years ago, that guy being shoved down my throat, whatever. You want to and introduce Jordan to the conversation? Sure. Gretzky or someone like that, of course.
Steve, I'm trying to picture DeKemper with a 7-iron in his hand. It's an ugly image. Ugly.
Oh, you never saw me gardening.
You know, one thing Godwin said, Ira Lee, that was another little layer when he was talking about Brady, and I'm not trying to bring Jameis Winston into it, but Godwin's only real frame of reference is Jameis and Ryan Fitzpatrick. He talked about another big difference that they realized this year was that two things. One, how Brady's incredibly fiery during the week and intense, except he really takes it up a significant level and a half on game day, which Godwin said just stands out so much because the guy's so intense all week to begin with that he has an even another gear versus a regular quarterback who, or another quarterback who may be intense all the time, but doesn't have another level kind of thing. And he also said that Brady watches film up until kickoff versus other quarterbacks just prepare until Saturday.
Steve, it all comes down to one word, and I don't mean the word claptrap, gentlemen. It comes down to another word that starts with the letter C, and that's competitiveness. That's the other element that raises somebody's game to a certain level. And you think of Michael Jordan. Guys, you've heard all the stories. You're playing in pool. You know, you're shooting dice with the guy. You're playing a board game with the guy. He will not let himself lose. He will not let you beat him in golf. Whatever the endeavor, the competitiveness is off the charts. I think Larry Bird was like that. Tiger Woods was like that. And Brady. And Brady's like that, guys. Brady's like that. Again, the intensity and, you know, he just will not allow the little mistakes. He gets on them right away. I think he's tough on himself, although I think he could be a little tougher on himself publicly. I think privately he is tough on himself. There were some games this year, gentlemen, let's be honest, like the Chicago game, where I thought he could have publicly taken a little bit more blame. He's not wired like that, but I'm sure with his teammates, he is up front. He didn't play well that night, and we know how that game ended with the mistake about the downs, and there's no getting around that. It is what it is. But hey, the competitiveness level is something that I don't think Buck fans have ever seen before on this franchise, and it kind of rubs off on everybody.
I think you're absolutely right, Ira. You hear the players speak about that. Devin White just earlier this week was on Total Access on the NFL Network, and he said, man, Brady threw his family out of his house for 2 weeks so he could prepare for the Super Bowl. That's all he did all day long, every waking hour he was preparing. And to leave that kind of an impact, not just impact, but impression on a young guy like Devin White, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about Devin White's competitiveness and preparation because he saw what it takes. He knows what it takes. Now, you know, Brady's impact is going to be on his team for as long as there's going to be players on the team that played for the 2020 Buccaneers. And it's really cool to see this move that the Bucs made. Sure, it was a gamble. Brady shattered all records set, if you want to call them records, standards, I guess is a better word, of 43-year-old quarterbacks. So it was a gamble, but this gamble is going to pay off for a long, long time. By the way, Ira, I wrote this. Do you think the Brady signing and the Bucs Super Bowl win saved the careers of Light, and not so much Arians, because Arians already had a resume, but saved Light's career?
I would throw Arians in the mix. I wouldn't give Arians a pass on that, Lee. I would not. Suppose they went 8-8, didn't make the playoffs, with the big splash of Brady, with Antonio Brown, with Fournette, and retaining all the defensive players, and they still go 8-8, 4 or 5 games behind the Saints, get swept by the Saints, don't make the playoffs. Steve, you got to think, what would be the impact of that on ownership? I mean, there'd be a lot of questions asked. Light would be in a lot of trouble. I think Lee's point is valid. A lot of jobs were saved by Brady and the way he performed. And Steve, you think, you know, hey, one of these seasons, a 43-year-old, it's all going to fall apart. The guy's going to show his age. He's not going to have a good season. He's going to throw 23 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. It's hard to see that, Steve. It's hard to see that from Brady at this point. And that's why I don't think these extension talks are crazy, because, Steve, as long as the guy wants to play until he shows me that he can't do it, I got to believe that he can.
Sage, before we get to the extension talk, and you raised some interesting points that we need to explore, but you mentioned Brady getting on the phone and calling players and recruiting and that being a role for him and a more powerful role and maybe a more expanded role than he had in New England. But that brings me to the power of Brady, because do you believe that Tom Brady is going to pick up the phone and call guys that he doesn't want on the team, or that after he's done a little research and doesn't like, right? I understand the concept of Jason Light and Bruce Arians saying, "Hey, Tom, we're going to chase this guy. You know, we need you to call him now and feel him out and sell him on us and report back, because we can't officially talk to anybody." Is he going to call a guy he doesn't really like?
So I think he'd be prone to call guys that he's played with over the years that he knows personally, not somebody that he doesn't have a relationship with, no playing experience with. That might be a stretch, Lee. Look, you look at a guy like James White. He's been talked about, Lee. He fits the pattern. He just fits the pattern, especially if Fournette walks. And if Fournette walks, and we still don't know about Ronald Jones's hands. I mean, let's be perfectly honest here. There's no reason to think that Jones can be a dependable third down back. You got James White sitting there as a potential free agent. We know Brady's comfort level with White. You know, he's not going to make $9 million, James White. So guys like that Brady has a lot of familiarity with, I think that's only natural for Brady to play a role in this whole free agent process. And I think it gives the Arians and Light a kind of a comfort level, like, hey, if we lose this guy, if we lose our guy, we might be able to replace him with that guy, maybe at a cheaper price, and Brady's already on board with the guy. I think that's important, Lee.
Yeah, I think that was that really wasn't discussed yesterday when Light and Arians had their offseason media availability. And by the way, Rex Burkhead is another guy that would be even cheaper that has a relationship with Brady and can catch passes and ends a tough SOB. And, oh, by the way, I think he was also Levante David's teammate in Nebraska.
Ira, let me paint this scenario for you. You head into your room off the pool there, that beautiful Shea Kauffman multi-decker level pool you got in the backyard. And you move the washing machine, and there you see a big old 7-foot swath of mold, disgusting mold behind that washing machine. What do you do?
I will call Florida's Elite Restoration. I will call them before my house insurance company. I will call Florida's Elite Restoration first. I want to get an assessment. I want to get an honest view of what's going on. Odds are it's a minor problem. Fine, they'll take care of it. If it's something more major, I want the right people to handle it. And Florida's Elite Restoration, they have the experience, they've got the crew. Josh does a great job with his people, and he keeps track of them and makes sure they get the job done. Florida's Elite Restoration for all your mold and water issues.
And if you're a plumbing contractor or an air conditioning contractor or a property manager in the Bay Area, they work with some of the best. Florida's Elite Restoration. Give them a call. Owner Josh Martin would love to talk to you. Fire, water, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration is the place to go. 24/7 response, free assessment, no funny business. Florida's Elite Restoration.
At any rate, I'm going to go back. I'm going to double back to something that Steve brought up about Brady and, you know, recruiting. I know the Bucks really poo-pooed it, and I know people at One Buck Palace said they're sensitive about making it look like Brady's the guy calling the shots.
Right.
But if there was a player out there the Bucks were targeting and Brady didn't want him as an offensive player, I really doubt the Bucks pursue him if Brady said, no, don't bring this guy in. Now, that wasn't brought up at all yesterday, but I just cannot believe Arians and Light would tell Brady, oh, bring in this guy in, and Brady would say, no, don't do it because X, Y, and Z, and they absolutely ignore him.
You're 100% right about that. Steve, if Brady had a lot of power, starting last March 20th, Steve, you got to think that power has grown exponentially after he's holding the Vince Lombardi trophy with his teammates. You know, Lee's point is right. If Brady's lukewarm on a guy, that's going to turn off Light and Arians right then and there.
I agree with you, Ira, but I think proportionally everybody else is more powerful too. And in some ways, I got to say, I have to at least ask how powerful, more powerful is Devin White when it comes to maybe weighing in on what he thinks of guys. And he knows, he doesn't know nearly the amount of players as Brady, but he's obviously a guy with strong opinions. He talked about how hard he lobbied for Leonard Fournette, his old teammate. You never know. Maybe Todd Bowles feels like flexing his muscles now. Arians thinks the Bucs have the best defense in football. It was probably top 10 for sure through the whole season and got better in the playoffs. The Bucs don't want Bowles to go anywhere. They want to keep everybody happy. So I think the balance of power has spread around a little bit, even though Brady is more powerful.
Fair point, Steve. But as far as Devin White's concerned, yeah, I think you'd consider him the leader of his defense. He's certainly a lot more vocal than Levante David. He is, and he's backing up with his play. But Lee, Devin White doesn't have that kind of body of work. You know, maybe 3 or 4 years down the line, he can weigh in on defensive players. But, you know, Lee, to compare him and Brady in terms of influence, the pedigree, Lee, that's really not fair to Devin White.
Ira, here's something for you. I know you're always a big Devin White guy, and it's hard not to be. I, out of curiosity, looked up Devin White's first postseason record, not record, but his stats, his first postseason, and the very first postseason of Ray Lewis. Now, I'm going off memory here. I don't have my computer on. I apologize. Lewis played 4 games against the likes of Gus Frerotte, Steve McNair, who me personally I thought was grossly overrated, and Kerry Collins. Okay quarterback, not bad, okay. And in those 4 games, only once did he have double-digit tackles. He had 3 takeaways. Devin White, in 3 postseason games, had double-digit tackles every game. Yeah, I believe every game. He had 4 takeaways. And he was going up against Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Pat Mahomes. Think about that.
Interesting. You know, Steve, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. You know, White's not a perfect player. How could he be, you know, at his age? Not going to be a perfect player. But, Steve, just imagine, you know, what this guy could be in 2 or 3 years when he becomes a seasoned pro. His speed is kind of spellbinding. That closing speed, Steve, it's rare. It's rare. And you know what I love about him? And I can tell you this from personal experience with Derek Brooks during the season. We do our little podcast on the identity, Tampa 2. And, Steve, you know this. Devin White talks to Derek Brooks routinely. Smart man. I always used to say that about young Buck cornerbacks that were playing with Rondé Barber or after Barber even retired. Talk to Rondé Barber about how to play your position, the preparation, unbelievable, the approach. And Devin White, and God bless Derek Brooks for being so involved behind the scenes. Steve, you know that. Devin White's not the only guy that he talks to on the current Buck roster. And, you know, what better role model, Steve, for the position than Derek Brooks? Devin White wants to be great, Steve, and I think he's on the path to being great.
Well, Ira, all of our listeners are on the path to being great if they are shopping at Bill Curry Ford, which sponsors the podcast, sponsors all of your work, Sage, at JoeBucksFan.com. But more important, they are there every day for the residents of the Bay Area and beyond at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan has got more amazing deals for February. They've got 90 days of no payments and all sorts of other opportunities. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, yeah, there's no question Devin White has cemented himself, and it's exciting, and they've got all the faith in the world in him, and he's doing the smart thing talking to Brooks. One thing that came out in some of these post-Super Bowl interviews, which is just an interesting little nugget, Devin White does not drink alcohol at all.
And neither does Derek Brooks. Neither does Derek Brooks.
There you go. So when we invite Devin White out to Big Storm and Brooks, they'll just feast on all the great food there rather than have a cocktail. You know, you brought up the re-signing of Brady, the extending the contract. Lee wrote something about, hey, that's an important recruiting tool, something we had talked about months ago, something that Nick Wright on FS1 had talked about, that, hey, you know, if Brady's under contract, then you can at least tell receivers and offensive players, hey, Brady's under contract for 3 years. Of course, maybe the guy doesn't play that many, but at least he's under contract. I'll throw in, Ira, that, you know, we always talk about how the NFL's a business and teams lost money this year. Well, you know, when you're going to re-up these giant sponsors for millions of dollars like the Bucks do, what's the first question any potential sponsor is going to ask the Bucks? How long is Tom Brady signed for? And if you want a 3-year contract from Verizon, well, it helps if Brady's here for 3 more years versus just 1 more year. That's just
it's like you talking to your sponsors, Steve. The first question is, how long are you going to hold on to the stage? There's no question about it, Steve.
I get it all the time, Ira. They say, hey, Ira's 83. You think he's going to live till next year? What's going on?
Steve, I'm going to stop you right now because, guys, sometimes we're so close to this thing, we can't even pull back and see the big picture. Listen to what we're talking about. We're talking about a contract extension, which all three of us agree makes sense, for a guy who's doing things nobody has ever done at this age. Lee, you mention that all the time. There's no precedent for this, uncharted waters. And Lee, we're casually talking about a contract extension. I mean, just think about what we're witnessing here. We're never going to see anything like this.
Probably not. You're correct. You know, how old is Aaron Rodgers? 38?
Yeah, 38. Yeah.
He looks like he'll break 40. Drew Brees obviously is over there. He had no arm. I know he was injured, but he had no arm in the playoffs. I mean, to get the ball downfield, they had to bring Jameis in to throw a gadget play.
That's right.
That's the only way they can get a long pass complete. How old was Hank Aaron when he retired? 42, 43?
I think so, but he was only hitting 11 homers at that point, you know.
Yeah, he shelved his form himself. You're right. Gordie Howe, that would be the only one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are a lot of examples in sports, but you know, Brady's at the top of his game. So
exactly. There
are zero examples of that, except for Brett Favre, who played well into his 40s. And there really is no comparison. I mean, you want to look at baseball, Nolan Ryan, sure, he was a full-time starter into his 40s, pitching extremely well. And, you know, just a rare kind of athlete, a very similar kind of guy in the way he took care of himself, in the way approached the game and the longevity of it. But it's unique territory, but there's no risk here, Ira. That's the beautiful thing, is that Brady wants to work with the Bucks, you know, as far as a salary, right? He took less than what he was worth this year, and he did that consistently with the Patriots. So if they'll get him to sign a long-term deal, if he quits, he quits. And at least they have him locked in. But what scares me, Ira, and it was kind of funny because Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk picked up on it, but I didn't send it to him. I noted the other day that if Brady wins a Super Bowl next year, well, maybe he wants a new challenge. His work is done in Tampa, right? And he told Clyde Christensen, Christensen spoke about this as well, that a big reason that he wanted to leave New England is because he really had a lot of interest and almost envy of what Peyton Manning did and that challenge that he overcame or took on and won in Denver. And maybe Brady wants to do it with a third team and be the first to ever do that. So I don't know, maybe the challenge is a little bit greater than we ever thought to re-sign Brady, especially, you know, if the Bucks do well next year. Again, maybe he decides, hey, let me take my TB12 brand over to Miami and or to New York or something. Who knows?
I know some people might be fearful of that, some Buck fans. I think that's a stretch. I think that's a stretch. I think he loves it here. He thought it was going to be a good situation. Turns out his instincts, as always, were correct. I mean, where's he going to find this, Lee? Where is he going to find these weapons? a coaching staff that he's this comfortable with, especially the head coach. And I understand this challenge of going to a third. I don't see it, Lee. I don't see it. You know, that grass is greener thing, and, you know, I can do something that Peyton Manning didn't do. I'm not buying that for Brady, Lee. I think this is his final stop, and he's not going to stop until he gets some more rings on those fingers. I don't see him leaving Tampa. I think this is where he's going to end up.
Well, if he wins one more Super Bowl with the Bucs, that's something Peyton Manning never did, that on his second team, the Broncos. He only won one Super Bowl, and he was done. He was shot at that point, and he retired. So Brady wins another one with the Bucs. You know, he already has surpassed Manning. I'm going to circle back real quick, Steve, to something you said. Great example about Nolan Ryan. There's kind of a connection between Ryan and Brady. We know Brady's obsessed with, you know, the TB12 brand and health conscience and all, you know, avocado ice cream, all that kind of stuff. Ryan, as you pointed out, Steve, was a fitness nut himself. And he did all kinds of, at the time, was considered weird, unorthodox stretching exercises, did a lot of weightlifting. And here's a great example. It was one of the highlights of my career. When I was covering the Royals, when I was working in the Kansas City area, I was covering the Royals. It was a Sunday afternoon game, but I was bound and determined to get an interview with the guy. He wouldn't talk to me before the game, blew me off two or three different times. And the game's over with, and I bugged him two or three more times. He still wouldn't bother me. And I just said to myself, I'm standing right here at the clubhouse door. If I got to get on the friggin' team bus to interview this guy, I'm going to get on the team bus. He will not get past me without an interview, at least two or three questions. I'm going to do it. And eventually, after about an hour and a half, he showed up. Luckily, I didn't have a deadline because it was a Sunday afternoon game. You know, that's when newspapers, in, you know, your deadline was 11 o'clock at night. So I interviewed him, and he was, you know, polite, and he wasn't a jerk whatsoever. You know, he's cooperative. And after the interview's over with, I started to walk away. He goes, hey, I got to apologize. And I, you know, it took me aback. I did a, you know, like a Looney Tunes. I what? You? And he just said, hey, you know, I wasn't trying to give you the runaround. I just have a routine, a ritual that after every game I do X, Y, Z with the weights and I do this stretching and I don't deviate from that. So I wasn't trying to jerk you around. I just had to attend to my, you know, physical training. And I'm like, wow, Nolan Ryan apologizing to me. Who would have thought?
I remember that time when Roger Clemens apologized to you because he took tater tots from your buffet. And
it's what I do, Steve. Hey, Steve.
And Sage, you know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. It is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. You love a good tropic pressure Florida ale. I know you love some of the specialty beers at the tap rooms in Odessa and Clearwater, where we're going to have the big draft party. And they're down in Cape Coral and almost ready to open in Orlando. Amazing food. Ira, is the Big Storm Cuban or the Reuben, is it officially on your diet yet?
Well, it's funny you mention that because I believe we're starting the diet today. I've got a goal of 20 pounds. Of course, it doesn't help that I'm starting with a Big Storm Reuben on day one. But we shall see. Steve, I've made a heck of a dent in the Big Storm menu. I mean, I've been through it, the platters, the Cuban, the Reuben, the hot dogs, the pretzels. Steve, we were there all season, regular season road games, and we had a ball. I mean, the big outdoor area, you know, you mingle with Buck fans, and I got to know all the same faces. People are buying me drinks, the Big Storm brews. I'm already looking forward to the draft party, Steve. We got shut down last year because of COVID. We're not going to let that happen again. So right now, the plan is on. Big Storm Clearwater Bucks Draft Party.
Big Storm Brewery has a diverse line of beers. Whatever you like, they've got it, and you will be satisfied. Just like the Bucks have, just like Tampa Bay has a very strong, tough, no-nonsense defense, Big Storm Brewery has a no-nonsense menu. Guaranteed to be satisfied. They are the Tampa Bay professional football team of microbreweries.
Ira, anything huge stand out for you from the Jason Light, Bruce Arians news conference yesterday? It replaced the annual combine news conferences where they would be, and instead they did it virtually. Anything really stand out to you that hit you between the eyes? To me, it was just a bunch of typical smoke and you know, just nothingness, which unfortunately, in my mind, a lot of these Zoom news conferences have lost a lot of flavor and a lot of the quality, because you can't have, you know, reporters jumping in with questions in the way it used to be.
Right. I agree, Steve. And it's something we'll get into more in our final podcast of the week. Gentlemen, four podcasts in a week. You're wearing me out, the Kemper. I got no voice left. But, Steve, one little thing, and I, you know, maybe I'll read too much into it, but it was a throwaway line by Bruce Arians, a throwaway line. But, it, you know, it might give you a little bit of insight into their mindset. Lee, do you remember when Arians was talking about how last year his focus was on keeping the defense intact, and they managed to do that? And then, you know, he kind of brought it back to this year and this offseason. And Lee, the throwaway line was, well, we're going to score a lot of points anyway. So he's not worried about that. He's very confident on that side of the ball. And what's not to be confident when you got number 12 on the center, Lee? But it's kind of like, we got to play defense because I'm not worried about the offense. And I thought that was kind of an interesting line.
I don't think it's wrong. You know, let's say Godwin and Brown don't come back. They still have pretty good weapons. They still have Evans. We can go on, and there are people there. There are other receivers out there I know that would love to come here. You know that, and I know that. So I don't. And Arian's offense has always been good. So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. And you know, Levante David's a big. What do they do with Levante? I don't know. I mean, your heart tells you to bring him back. Your mind tells you, ooh, 31. I don't know.
Steve,
I don't find anything unusual about that.
Steve, to me, it's kind of an indication that the focus remains on Shaq Barrett, Sue, and this year Levante David has taken the place of JPP, who is under contract for the upcoming season. But, Steve, I think as far as Arians is concerned, the focus is on the defensive side of the ball and retaining those guys. And I continue to say, Steve, out of the Big Eight, you've identified them as the Big Eight. I think you're right. I think there are levels. And I think the guy that's number one is Shaq Barrett. Shaq Barrett, if he goes anywhere, Steve, I would be absolutely stunned.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be stunned, because somebody might want to pay him. And there's going to be a market for Shaq Barrett. And
well, by that, I mean, Steve, if you can't sign him on term in the next few weeks, you got to franchise him. You have to keep him.
I got you, Ira. And I'm with you as well. It's not surprising. It did stand out hearing Bruce Arians say that, but it really is what he said all last year, which almost felt a little strange when he said, we've got to, keep that defense together and bring those guys back. And then they still went out and got Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette and Rob Gronkowski. So last year they did both, but this year they can't do both in the same way. And that's what makes it all very interesting. Someone's got to blink first. Someone's got to come to the table of these free agents. And of course, fans need to realize that Buccaneers free agents can sign with the team at any time. They could sign tomorrow if they want to. It's the other team's free agents that you can't go after until later next month. So I'm just eager, Ira, to see one of these guys has got to step to the plate and say, I'm in, this is what I want. It's a good deal. Take it, Bucks. And maybe that sort of sets the tone for the rest of them. And I don't know who that's going to be. It hasn't happened yet. I thought it was interesting. Jason Light said the other day with Rich Eisen that, hey, they just sat down on Monday and hatched a plan. Now, I don't believe that, but that is what he said.
It is what he said. And Lee, he also said that he doesn't really know, have any idea who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. And I don't think I believe that either. I think the Bucks have a plan for Shaq Barrett, for David, for Godwin, you know, where they are in the pecking order. I think it's very clear in the executive suite of One Buck Place. Doesn't mean they're going to be able to do everything they want, Lee, but I think they know what direction they want to go in.
I'll just respond by saying this. Earlier this week, one of our loyal readers twittered Steve and I and said, hey, if the Bucks have a plan, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, come on. Do you think these guys just sit at Big Storm every day and pound beers and a day or two before the dinner bell rings for free agents? They're like, hey, I got an idea. I mean, come on. They've had a plan for weeks, probably. Probably since December. I mean, come on.
They know exactly, Lee, what Godwin would want in terms of an extension. They know exactly what Barrett's looking for if he hits the open market. They're talking to agents all the time, Lee. Well, they know
agents, agents, they're buddies. You know, like Pioli just this week or last week, but Pioli was on NFL Network saying, hey, I was talking to Jason Light and he was in trouble. Well, you know, these guys talk to everybody, including their colleagues across the league. If nothing else, they're trying to gauge, you know, what do you think this guy's worth? Let's say, I can't remember who's got an excellent pass rush, but let's say Light talked to Team X, who has an excellent pass rush. They have no interest in signing a free agent. What do you think you'd pay Shaq Barrett? You know, they do this all the time. They've got a good idea how much money they might have to spend, they're going to spend. You know, they don't want any surprises. I'm not going to say the guy's name because I like him a lot, but he used to have a local radio show, and he always screamed about how Mark Domenic didn't have a plan. Really, dude? Really? Like, they're sitting around at Pizza Hut every day, and a day or two before free agency, I got an idea. What do you think about this? I mean, come on.
Hey, that's what Ira does, sitting around Pizza Hut.
Before we go any further, I want to make a recommendation to our podcast audience. And believe me, if you do what I say, you're going to have a laugh. Your day's going to go a little bit better. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but here's my recommendation. Go on Twitter and search for Nolan Richardson, N-O-L-A-N. And you guys know that he's a former Arkansas basketball coach. He was famous for his line, 40 minutes of hell. He was going to press you. His teams were very tough to go against. Well, anyway, guys, I don't know if you've seen this, but on Twitter, there's a shot of Nolan Richardson giving a little speech. I think he was going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I think Larry Bird was going in on the same class. So Bird's sitting in the audience. There's Magic Johnson behind him. Bill Russell's behind Magic. And Nolan Richardson gets up at the podium. And he starts talking. And it's only a minute and a half. But it's absolutely fantastic. And he talks about how one night he was driving, and there was a game between Indiana State, which Bird played for, and New Mexico State. Nolan Richardson really, you know, he didn't have any, interest in the game, except he was rooting against New Mexico State because they used to be a rival of his. And he's talking about listening to this game on the radio and listening. All of a sudden, the guy kept saying, Bird, Bird, Bird. Who's this Bird? He never heard of him. And, guys, you have to see this 90-second Twitter of Nolan Richardson. He does it beautifully. It's a beautiful presentation. And you will laugh. You will absolutely laugh about the way the thing develops. So there is my recommendation for this week, gentlemen. Go on Twitter, search for Nolan Richardson, and look for that 90-second clip about him talking about Larry Bird. It is fantastic.
Yeah, I remember seeing that a handful of years ago, Ira, but I don't remember it. But I remember the laugh. And as long as we're wrapping up our old man radio segment, I'll just clear up for the young folks out there. Nolan Ryan was a pitcher, Major League Baseball pitcher, led Major League Baseball in strikeouts four times at the age of 40. And so, in my mind, he's really the only guy physically that you could compare to Brady in some of the uniqueness, like Lee mentioned. And you can always Google him, read a little bit more if you
never... And Steve, he was a member of the 69 Miracle Mets. He was in the bullpen, and he was young, and nobody had any idea that Nolan Ryan would develop into a starter, no less a first ballot Hall of Famer. But he was in the bullpen of those miracle 69 Mets, Steve.
Yeah, played 27 years. Yeah, 27 years, a real physical freak show. Go ahead, Lee.
Who signed him and who drafted him and who signed him, Ira? Signed
I'm going to say your man, Whitey Herzog, my friend.
Whitey Herzog, yeah. pro player director of the Mets.
Ira, we're going to let you go now because we still have another podcast this week. Let me thank Big Storm Beer for being the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage, unfortunately, you missed the other day. Brisket Sloppy Joe Sliders. Unbelievable. Whoa. Unbelievable. Wow. With fries at the Big Storm Tap Rooms and Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember them when you have a disaster in your home. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And you know where to shop for a vehicle, truck, whatever it is, Mustang, Roush, Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, we'll see you a little bit later in the week. Going to the beach this week?
I don't think so, Steve, but let's mention, Big Storm. It's going to be the site of our draft party, Mr. Isbitz.
Absolutely, Ira. Coming up in Clearwater, the big extravaganza, but plenty of time for that. We'll see you next time, Ira.